So this morning we're starting another series. Last month we went through the cross, the resurrection, and the things that God achieved for us in form of salvation through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's what we did last month. So we focused on that. This month, we're going to focus on the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit in detail this month. We're going to look at who is the Holy Spirit. We'll look at the Holy Spirit and the believer. We'll look at the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And also, we will look at the work of the Holy Spirit now in our days. So this morning, we're just going to start by looking at who is the Holy Spirit. But before we do that, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for another wonderful time in your presence. We ask that as we spend this time looking at your word, that you will open our eyes and open our hearts to understanding. In Jesus' name. All right, so this morning, we're going to look at who is the Holy Spirit. And on that list, who is the Holy Spirit topic that we're looking at today, we'll look at the Holy Spirit at the beginning, firstly. Secondly, we'll look at the Holy Spirit as part of the Godhead, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit just before Jesus Christ was born, and the work of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of Jesus. In the ministry of Jesus Christ. All right, so the first one we want to look at is the Holy Spirit at the beginning. So if we turn to the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So in the very first chapter of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we see the presence of the Holy Spirit here. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we see that the Holy Spirit is not, didn't just, appear on the scene much later. He was there right at the beginning. And that's what we see here. So we're looking at who is the Holy Spirit. And here we can see that the Bible says that he's the Spirit of God. And he was there at the beginning. Now, the next thing I want us to look at is the fact that the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. And when I say part of the Godhead, it's defined as, described as the Trinity. Now, the Trinity defines is God in three different persons, but still one God. So you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So he's part of the Trinity. So if we go backwards and we go to Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. There, Jesus says something. I'm just going to refer to this. It says, Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. It says, "We should go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So we see here that this scripture alludes to the fact that, there is the Father, there is the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what's properly described as the Trinity. Now, the other thing as well, if we look at the Trinity here, and the Holy Spirit being part of it, we saw in the previous verse, Genesis 1, 1-2, that the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We've seen here that Jesus was saying we should baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if we look at John chapter 1, verse 3, John chapter 1, verse 3 tells us about, refers to another person in the Trinity, who is Christ. Again, it says, "Through him," that's through Christ, "all things were made." So let's look at John chapter 1, verse 1, actually, to start with. It says, "In the beginning was the Word," that's talking about Christ, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is Jesus, a description of Jesus Christ in the book of John chapter 1. So we begin to see that the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, referring to the fact that God in three persons, the Trinity, God the Father, we saw in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who we're focusing on. We also see from here that the Bible now tells us that the Word, Jesus Christ, was also there at the beginning. And it said that, if we go to the next verse, he also goes on to say that, in verse 2, he was with God in the beginning, verse 3, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made, talking about Christ. So we begin to see that the creation of the world and of man, right from the beginning, involved the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus Christ. Now, still looking at the Holy Spirit as part of the Trinity, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Now, here, we now read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image." So we begin to see that, again, God, if we put all these scriptures together that says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, we see God the Father there. He also says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth, the Holy Spirit. We now read John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, that says the Word was there in the beginning and the Word was God, referring to Christ. So we can place the Father at the beginning. We can place the Holy Spirit at the beginning. We can also place Jesus Christ at the beginning. And if we look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image," referring to the fact that it was a joint venture between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." It says, "Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along." So we begin to see that the Holy Spirit is God as well. Now, the issue of describing the Trinity is one that, you know, one can't put into words. How can we have three distinct persons and we say there's one God? Well, that's the way it is. We have one God in three persons, Bible, you know, from what we can see, but still one God. How they differentiate, you know, how we differentiate in a logical manner, you know, I'm not quite sure how we can explain that. So, but what I'm saying is that as we focus on the Holy Spirit, I want us to have like an idea of who the Holy Spirit is, not just jumping into the New Testament, talking about the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit helps us now. We want to trace back the history of the Holy Spirit, so to speak, from the Bible, so that when we refer to the Holy Spirit and we look at the work of the Holy Spirit now, we can identify that He has been there from the beginning. He was part of creating man, everything that exists as well. And we begin to see the awesomeness of the Holy Spirit, that He's not less than God the Father, neither is He less than Christ. They're equal. So we've said the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. He was there in the beginning. Now, a couple of things we want to just move forward a bit to look at some of the works of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Let's turn to the book of Judges chapter 14 and verse 5 and 6. So the Holy Spirit did a number of things in the Old Testament. We want to just highlight some of these things again, so that by the time we get to the New Testament, we have a fuller picture of the works of the Holy Spirit. Now, Judges chapter 14, verse 5 to 6, we look at how the Holy Spirit supernaturally empowered people in the Old Testament, some people in the Old Testament. He gave them supernatural strength. Now, reading the book of Judges chapter 14, verse 5 to 6, it says, "Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring at him." He says, watch it, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he neither told his father or mother what he had done." So we see here the story of Samson. It's quite a popular story. We There are a number of things that he did. But here, I just want us to see the fact that it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. So the Holy Spirit came upon Samson. And as he came upon Samson, Samson became supernaturally endowed with power, a supernatural kind of power. So we begin to see that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people, God's people, to achieve certain tasks. In this case, he came upon Samson a number of times. And as he came upon Samson, he was able to perform a lot of supernatural acts. So we see the Holy Spirit giving people supernatural strength in the Old Testament. Now, let's look at another instance of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And we'll look at 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11 to 18. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11 to 18. There, we see another instance of the Holy Spirit coming upon a prophet called Elisha and speaking through Elisha to the kings that were there. It says, we'll read 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11 to 18. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord through him?" An officer of the king of Israel answered, "Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah." Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What do we have to do with each other? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." "No," the king of Israel answered, "because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to hand us over to Moab." Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of the king, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you or even notice you. But now, bring me a hapis." While the hapis was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. And he said, "This is what the Lord says. Make this valley full of ditches. For this is what the Lord says. You will see neither wind nor rain, yet the valley will be filled with water. You and your cattle and your animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also hand Moab over to you." So we see here that, well, this is quite an interesting story. These three kings came to Elisha. Two of them were just, you know, really bad guys, to be honest. One of them was a good king, Jehoshaphat. And what Elisha was saying here was that, look, if not that Jehoshaphat was there, he wouldn't even answer them. But he now said, "Okay, no problem. I'll answer you and I'll tell you what God has to say." And the Bible tells us that as the harp, he called an instrumentalist. And as the instrumentalist was playing, he was able to focus on God and the hand of God came upon him. In this instance, the Holy Spirit came upon him and began to speak through him to give the kings the message that God had for them. So we see here that in the case of Samson, he empowered him supernaturally. In the case of Elisha, the Holy Spirit came upon him and he was able to speak the mind of God in this circumstance. Now, let's look at another instance of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We'll look at 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. I'll just give us the background to the story. So Saul had just been appointed king of Israel. And Saul was a very timid man. The Bible says that when he was to be anointed, that he ran away and he hid because he was so timid. But God did something to him. God moved on him supernaturally. Now, the story here that we read is some allies of Israel were surrounded by an enemy king, and the king said to them, they came to the king and they kind of like tried to appease the king to leave them alone. But the king said some things that were quite terrible to them. And I'll just read 1 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. It says, "Nahash the Amorite went up and besieged Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to him, 'Make a treaty with us and we will be subject to you.' But Nahash the Amorite replied, 'I will make a treaty with you only on one condition, that I gouge out the right eye of every one of you and so bring disgrace on Israel.'" So they came to him saying, you know, "We admit, we're, you know, we don't want to fight, so to speak, we give up. let's make a treaty with you. And he responded to them and said, okay, the only way I'll make a treaty with you is if I gouge out the right eye of everybody here. I mean, how, can you imagine that? He said, no problem, but I will remove all your right eyes. Your right eyes. So these guys came to Saul. Or Saul came across their way, being the king. And he asked them, we'll see what he said to them. He said, when the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and reported these terms to the people, they wept aloud. When the king said he was going to gouge out their eyes, they were all weeping. He says, Just then Saul was returning from the fields behind his oxen, and he asked, what is wrong with the people? Why are they weeping? And they repeated to him what the men of Jabesh had said. When Paul heard these words, the Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he burned with anger. So when Saul was coming back, he said, why are all these people crying? Then they now said, look, this is what this enemy king said, that he will gouge out all our eyes. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God came upon Saul and he was angry. And if you read down, we're not going to read that. If you read further on from verse 7 onwards, we see that Paul and Saul gathered all the people of Israel together and they defeated that king. So this is a man that was so timid, running away from, you know, he just couldn't even face up to a crowd. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, as the Bible describes here, he became supernaturally bold. And God used him to lead the people of Israel to victory. So we see that the Holy Spirit was working even in the Old Testament. He was there at the beginning, as we said. He walked in the Old Testament. He empowered people supernaturally, like he did Samson. He spoke through people, as he did Elisha, and he gave people supernatural boldness. As we looked at the case of Saul. All right, so that's the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. So I just want us to note all the things that he was doing in the Old Testament. So the Holy Spirit just didn't appear in the New Testament, as we will read, you know, next week as we carry on the series. So that's the Holy Spirit. He was there at the beginning. He was there in the Old Testament, you know, walking through men. Now, we'll look at the Holy Spirit just before Jesus Christ was born. What were some of the things that he did just before Jesus Christ was born? Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 34 to 35. Luke chapter 1, verse 34 to 35. So the Holy Spirit just before Jesus was born. He says, now, this is the scenario to this, is an angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you are highly favored. You will bear a son and his name will be Jesus Christ. He will save the people from his sin. And she asked, I'm a virgin. I haven't known any man. How will this be? How will I suddenly have a baby? Now, that's the prelude to this. So Luke chapter 1, verse 34 to 35. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So we see here that in the birth of Jesus Christ, bringing Jesus Christ into the earth through Mary, it was the Holy Spirit that came upon Mary and overshadowed her by his power. And Jesus came into her womb supernaturally, not by any man or by any, you know, supernaturally. So the Holy Spirit was the one who was responsible for bringing Jesus into our physical realm. So we begin to see his work there as well, just before Jesus Christ was born. Now let's look at some other things that the Holy Spirit did just before the birth of Christ. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 41 to 42. Luke chapter 1, verse 41 to 42. Now, Luke chapter 1, verse 41 to 42, we see here, it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, so Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, she was pregnant, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." So we see here that even before Jesus Christ was born, we see the instance here where the mother of Jesus Christ, carrying Jesus in her womb, went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. The Bible tells us that immediately she saw Mary, something happened. It says she was filled with the Holy Spirit and she began to speak as inspired by the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. So we begin to see that even before the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was already working. Even before the death and the resurrection of Christ, the Holy Spirit was already working. So the other thing we want to look at is, let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Again, just looking at some of the things that the Holy Spirit did, or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the just before Christ was born. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. It says, "His father, Zechariah," this is the father of John the Baptist, "was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied." He said he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. So here we see that this Zechariah was the husband of Elizabeth, who was also filled with the Holy Spirit that we read about now. And we see here that the Holy Spirit came upon them, filled them, and they were, you know, they prophesied. They spoke not of their own volition, but they spoke what God put in their hearts. Do you understand? So we see the Holy Spirit also speaking through people as he did with the prophet Elisha. As he came upon them, they prophesied. They spoke on behalf of God. They spoke words from God. Now, let's look at another one. The Holy Spirit just before the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Luke chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. It says here, talking about John the Baptist, the child of Elizabeth and Zechariah, whom we read about, the cousin of Jesus Christ. It says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his birth." It says, many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedience to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So we begin to see here that the Bible tells us that before John the Baptist was born, he's the only person recorded in the Bible that was filled with the Holy Spirit, even as a baby. So even before he was born in his mother's womb, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us. So we begin to see that then if we look at the ministry of John, it was a very peculiar ministry. The Bible says that after he was born, he was out in the wilderness just by himself. Well, not just by himself. And the word of the Lord came to him. And he started to preach all around the wilderness, all around Judea and Jerusalem. And people came to him. The Holy Spirit was working through him. The Bible describes this man that his dress code was camel's skin and he ate locusts and wild honey. And people came to him from all, people were just coming to him. So we begin to see that it was not just anything that he said. It was the power of God in him by the Holy Spirit that was drawing these people, because God had already preordained that in this matter. So we begin to see here, looking at who is the Holy Spirit, we see that here that he was there at the beginning. He was there in creation. He was involved in creation. We see that he worked and he moved in the lives of people in the Old Testament, empowering them, speaking through them. We also see that even before Jesus Christ was born, the Holy Spirit was manifesting. He was, walking through people already as well, as we've seen here. Now, lastly, we want to see the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm doing here is giving us a background before we look at the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer from next week. Giving us a background of the works of the Holy Spirit. given us an idea of the types of things that the Holy Spirit has been doing even before Jesus Christ came. All right. Now, the last one we'll look at today is the Holy Spirit in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. The Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, the heavens were open. And it says that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descended upon Christ like a dove. It didn't say he was a dove, like a dove, and rested upon Jesus Christ. So we begin to see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit even in the ministry of Christ. The Bible says that as he was baptized, the Holy Spirit alighted on him, rested on him. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus begins to say something, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that Jesus was saying here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. So we begin to see here that even in the ministry of Jesus Christ, Jesus was saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, signifying that the Holy Spirit was active in the ministry of Jesus Christ while he was on earth here. Now let's look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 13 to 14. We're looking at the Holy Spirit in the ministry, in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. So it said here, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him up to an opportune time. He now says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the countryside. So we see here that the Bible tells us that after Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, something happened. He returned, the Bible tells us, in the power of the Spirit. That means there's another part in the Bible, we will not turn there, where people were asking Jesus that, or they were saying Jesus was casting out devils by evil powers. And he said, that these guys, you guys don't know what you're saying. If I cast out devils, I do it by the finger of God. Again, referring to the Holy Spirit. So we begin to see that Jesus, while on doing his earthly ministry on earth, walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells us that when Jesus came to the earth, he left his glory in heaven. So he was here as man. Do you understand? And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit rested on him and, you know, was involved in his ministry, as we can see. So what I'm just doing today is just laying the foundation for what we'll be looking at next week. So we've seen that the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. We see that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity involved in creation. We also see here that the Holy Spirit walked through people in the New Testament. We looked at Samson, Elijah, Saul. We also saw the Holy Spirit just before the birth of Christ, how he was responsible for bringing Christ through, in bodily form through Mary to the earth. We saw how, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke through Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and that he was active in the ministry of John the Baptist. The Bible tells us that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. So that's the only reference we have of someone being filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb of their mother. And lastly, we looked at the fact that even the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ was done in cooperation with the power of the Holy Spirit. We saw Jesus was saying then that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. And he mentioned some other things there. So what we see here is this. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit, you know, is God. And we see, looking back through history and looking back to even creation, that the Holy Spirit is actively involved in life. He's actively involved in the things that God is trying to achieve, or in God's plan, right, you know, he has been right through from the beginning of time. So that's what we see. So what we'll do next week, we'll look at the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Now, we've looked at all these things, how the Holy Spirit walked through men in the Old Testament and before Christ was born. We will now begin to see a similar thing in how the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believers. But Jesus said something about the Holy Spirit. The way he will walk through us as believers, or the way he walks through us as believers, it's far more than the way he walked through people in the Old Testament. And we'll look at that. Now, one distinguishing fact is that Jesus told his disciples that, look, when the Holy Spirit comes, he is with you, but he will also live in you. So the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and just before Christ was born would come upon people. He would fill them, do what he wanted to do. Then he would be lifted up from them and they would just be normal human beings again. But as believers, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit lives in us. So can you imagine? I mean, when the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul was praying a prayer that we might know the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. That power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament believer resides in us. We carry the Holy Spirit around, the Bible tells us. He lives in us. So you can imagine if the Holy Spirit lives in us, the power that we have. So it's not just him resting upon us and leaving. No, we carry the Holy Spirit around. So if you look at the things that he did in the Old Testament, you can begin to see the possibilities of the things that he can do with us in the New Testament. And that's what one of the prayers of Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, that we might know the power of the Holy Spirit walking through us. Let us pray.